All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chaf Aleph. We're going to begin four lines up from the bottom, Chaf Amud Beis. Take the opportunity to welcome David Dannenbaum, who's joining us, Baruch Hashem, our newest member to the Shir. Treat him nicely, please. I'm sorry? Well, he has to make it through the Shir hazing first. You know, we'll see. All right. So what's I said? Chaf Aleph. So Chaf Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. V'takala Atzma Tanoihi. So now the Gemara says, the notion of takala, if you remember again yesterday, we ended off with two interesting cases. And one was case of Truma Tameah, and one was case of, of Truma wine that became Tameh, and one was Truma oil that became Tameh. Now the Gemara spoke about the idea that with the wine, we were concerned about letting it stay around in the house, out of a concern that one may come to inadvertently go ahead and drink it. So therefore, the Gemara said you have to go ahead. Well, the Gemara said you put in, well, the Gemara gave all of its different etzos. But now the Gemara says, Takala Atzma Tanoihi, the notion that we are concerned that people are going to make a mistake with a particular item is the subject of Machlokes Tanoim. This Sanyo, Chovis Shal Yayin Shal Truma. We'll say if you have a barrel of Truma wine, Shenitmes, that became Tamis. So we'll say now you can't drink it anymore. Beishame Omim Tishbach Chavel. Beishame says you really should pour out the whole thing at once. Ubeisilo Omim Taas says Ziluf. And Basil says you should go ahead and what? You should sprinkle it. Now, we'll say, remember why you're sprinkling it. So we spoke about yesterday, people would sprinkle it for aroma. They would sprinkle wine for aromatic, let's say potpourri, for aromatic purposes. So Beis Shammai says you don't have to pour it out all at once. You could dispose of it by sprinkling. Amar Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, interestingly enough, at first glance, you might think that the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is about takala, that apparently Beis Shammai holds that you should pour the whole thing out at once, which seem to say we don't really want you maintaining this in your house out of fear that you may come to consume it. Whereas Beis Hillel, who allows you to sprinkle it, says that we're not concerned. The person's going to know that it's Truma Tameah, and they're not going to come to consume it. Amar Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Ani Achria. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi says, I'm going to show you. Achria literally means I will decide. But what he also wants to say is he means I'll find the middle ground. What's the middle ground? Bisadat tishbach. If the wine is in the field, it should be tishbach chaval. It should be totally spilled out. Bebayis tas ziluf. But in the home, you should use it for sprinkling. What's the pshat? Take a look at Rashi. Bisadat tishbach chaval. Shein mizalfin bisadat. So also remember, we don't do sprinkling of aromatic wine in the field. So Rabbi Shlomo Yossi says that we're concerned that if we allow you the time to bring it from the field to your house, that you may come to go ahead and consume it. Therefore, Rabbi Shlomo Yossi says, if it's in the field, pour it out in totality. If it's in your house, you can use it for sprinkling. Ika da Amri, there are those who say a different version of this. Bechadash tishbach chaval, ubiyashan ta'as ziluf, that according to Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, if it's new wine, pour it all out. Why Rabbi Yossi? Because new wine wasn't really able to be used for aromatic sprinkling, because it didn't have a strong smell, a good smell. However, with yashan, with old wine, ta'as ziluf, you can use it for sprinkling. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, top of chaf aleph, ein hachra'as shlishis machras. They said to Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, no, your position is not really coming to go ahead and serve as a middle ground or as a deciding factor between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because you're introducing a totally new concept. Meaning, I'll both say, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't say anything about a distinction between a field or a distinction between the house. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel just simply state their machlokes. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi comes to be introducing a new concept, and therefore he's not considered to be the middle ground between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Machlokes shenafla lefachos mimea sa'a chulin. Tmein. Aval nafla lemea chulin. Tmein. Divrei hakol terid v'titma. So we'll say, it's going back to the case yesterday. So remember a situation yesterday where I have two vats of wine. Let's say one, the upper one is truma tahora, tar truma wine, and the bottom one is chulin tmein. Right? Unconsecrated, non-consecrated, regular wine that happens to be tummy. They both say, remember, non-consecrated tummy wine could be consumed by a regular person, maybe who's already tummy. So now what happens? The upper vat breaks. The shaila was, what do I do to go ahead and save the upper wine? Now remember, there are two things at stake over here. One is saving the wine from the upper vat. One is preventing the wine in the lower vat from becoming disqualified for usage. Because remember, once truma gets mixed in with chulin tmei, you can't consume it anymore. So I think you might something very interesting. When was the so remember we saw machlokas? What should you do? Should you try to save as much as you can from the truma with a tahor kli, recognize that you're going to lose the chulin, or do we go ahead and say that you could save what you need? That go ahead and try to get the truma even in a tamei kli in order to go ahead and save the chulin below. These are the machlokas that we saw. So now Rabbi Yossi says Nei Rabbi Chanina that the machlokas only applies when the truma is falling in to less than 100 sa'ah of chulin. However, if the truma is falling into 100 sa'ah of chulin, then everyone agrees that what? Tered v'titma v'al yitma ena biyat. So we'll say, remember, what's the halacha? The halacha is that truma is batal in a 100-to-1 ratio. So again, if one piece of truma falls into 100 pieces of chulin, the truma is batal. So now what the Gemara is essentially saying is like this. If there's 100 times more chulin than there is truma, then everyone agrees that what? Hey, look, if you could go ahead and catch all of the truma and a tahar kli, then of course, that's always, everyone agree that's the best thing to do. But in this kind of case, again, what we do is we would say, better to go ahead and let the truma flow down into the chulin, rather than catch the truma in a tamei kli. Why? Because catching the truma in a tamei kli actively defiles the truma. Whereas allowing the truma to go ahead and flow into the chulin tamei on the bottom does what? Doesn't really actively defile the truma. Instead, what ends up happening? The truma's bottle. And everyone agrees that if there's going to be a case of bittel, that's better than actively defiling the truma. Tayin amihachi, or rice that supports this. Chavis shenishpura begat ha'elyona, v'tachtao mea chulin tmein. If, again, the upper vat, if the upper vat that was truma, went ahead and broke, and is beginning to flow into the bottom one, which has 100 sa'ah of chulin tmein, modin Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, that if you can go ahead and save any amount of the truma in a tahar kli, you certainly should do that. But if that's not possible, tered v'titma, allow the truma to fall into the bottom vat, v'al yitam ena biyad, and don't actively defile it. So the Gemara says, one second, haimod Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, mod Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, mi boyrei. But the Gemara says, based on the shittos we saw yesterday, it shouldn't be that Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing to Rabbi Yoshua, but rather it's Rabbi Yoshua agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rava Eifach. Rava says, Enoch Inam, you're right, switch around the names. Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yoshua, Amar the Olam Lo Seifach. Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yoshua says, no, don't switch it. Hacha B'lan Askinon, what's the case over here? Bikli Shetocho Tahar V'gabo Tamer. That's a very interesting case. What's the situation here? Of a utensil whose inside is Tahar, but whose outside is tamei. I will say, where did you have a case of kalim, of a kli, of a utensil, where the outside is tamei, but the inside is not? So we saw this actually earlier. Rashi actually points this out as well. If, let's say, the kli came in contact with mashkin tamei, right, impure liquids. So impure liquids will only go ahead and convey rabbinic tumah to the kli, and they'll only go ahead and convey tumah to the outside of the kli, but not to the inside of the kli. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? A kli whose inside is tahar, but whose outside is tamei. Mao de tema, what might you have thought? Nigzar dilma naga gabo betruma. I might have thought that perhaps I should not use this type of kli to save truma, because after all, again, what could happen? The truma could come in contact with the outside of the kli and therefore defile the truma. Kamashmulam, that we're not concerned about that. Kamashmulam, that as long as the inside of the kli is tahar, then we are not concerned even if the outside of the kli is tame. Hadrun Allah or La Arbasa. So we'll say Shkoach, you just went ahead and completed probably the most difficult sugya in Pesachim, the sugya of Rabbi Chanina Sekana Kohanim. So yeah, Shkoach, kudos to everyone who plowed through it. Okay, so now next parak.
Those who understood it.
What? No, the truth is you saw already. It's not when it comes to Tum and Tara, people put a mental block. They assume they're not going to understand it. So in general, in life, whenever you tell yourself that something is, you're not going to understand it, you're never going to understand it. But the truth is, we've seen the concepts are not esoteric. It's just a lot of information to remember. So now, Baruch Hashem, all of you are qualified to answer Shilas. And Alichanina's going to call them. So if any of them come to you, I'm going to refer them to you. Hadron Alach Arlaabar. So new parak. Back to Pesachim. Back to Pesachim. Back to Chametz, I should say. Kol Shah Shem Mutra Leachol Machil Behema. Any time in which you are permitted to go ahead and eat chametz, you are permitted to feed it to your animal. But also, again, you understand, of course, that's another way of saying hana'ah, another way of saying benefits. Anytime that you're allowed to eat, you can get benefits. Specifically, you can feed it to your behema, chaya, ofos. We also have behema is domesticated animal, chaya is non-domesticated animal. We'll see why the Mishnah discusses both. And ofos, your birds. Furthermore, umocha lenachri, you could sell it to a non-Jew. This is, again, so this is anytime that you're permitted to eat it. You could do all of these things. You could sell it to a non-Jew. Umutr bahana also, and you're permitted to get any kind of benefit. Avar zmano, once, however, the zman has passed, meaning now chametz has become asr. Asr bahana also, you may not get benefit from it. Velo yasik bol tanur vikirai, nor can you use your chametz to fuel your stove. To use as mostly remember, it's a wood burning or a coal burning stove. You can't use your chametz as a fuel source. Yeah. Rabbi Huda says, "Ein bir chametz ala sreifa." Rabbi Huda holds there's only one way to destroy chametz, and that is through sreifa. That is through burning. The chachamim say, "Af mefarer v'zore l'ruach o matilyam." The chachamim say, "No, you could even crumple it up, throw it into the wind, or throw it into the sea, throw it into the ocean." Okay. We'll discuss all of these things in the Gemara. Kol shah shemuter le'echom ma'achil. So what did the Mishnah say? Anytime that you are permitted to go ahead and eat, ma'achil, one could feed to his animal as well. Ha, kol shah she'eno mutter le'echom, eno ma'achil. And I will say, obviously, we infer the reverse of that as well, which is what? That anytime that you are not permitted to eat, you may not go ahead and feed it to your animals. And I will say, The interesting inference from that statement is what? That the only time you're really permitted to go ahead and get benefit from chametz is when you yourself are allowed to eat it. But if you can't eat it, then Lamai say you can't feed it to animals, which you can't get benefit. So we'll say, apparently our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because remember, as we'll see in just a moment, Rabbi Yehuda is a different model. In Rabbi Yehuda's model, there is an hour on Erev Pesach where what? You may not eat chametz, but you may get benefit from chametz. This none. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chameish V'Sarfin B'Tchilas Sheish. We saw this earlier. Rabbi Meir says that you can go ahead and eat chametz through the fifth hour of the day, but you must burn it, destroy it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Also, remember again, for our orientation purposes, remember, when does the biblical prohibition of chametz begin? Seventh hour. The Rabbanon backed that up 1 hour and said you cannot eat chametz already from the sixth hour. In Rabbi Meir's position, it's fine. So up until the sixth hour, you could do whatever you want. Comes the sixth hour, all consumption, all hana'ah must stop. Chametz must be destroyed. Rabbi Huda says, no. Ochlin kol arba. You can eat chametz until the end of the fourth hour. Tolin kol chamish. You can go ahead and get bet. Tolin literally means to spend, but we know already that means you can get hana'ah the entire fifth hour, v'sarfen b'tchilas sheish, and you destroy it at the beginning of the sixth hour. So Rabbi say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a 1 hour buffer there in the fifth hour where Lamai say you can't eat it, but you can get benefit from it. So what does the Gemara show? The Gemara is clearly indicating to us that Lamai said the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Because again, what does the Mishnah seem to indicate? The Mishnah says that as long as you can eat it, you can get benefit from it. So the reverse would be true as well, which is, therefore, if you can't eat, you can't get benefit. Therefore, it makes most sense that the Mishnah is referring to Rabbi Meir's model, where you're eating all the way through the fifth hour, and the Shas Ischi begins at the sixth hour. The Elamai, Rabbi Meir, he. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Hai kol shas, the Gemara says, but 1 second. Hai kol shas shemutu le'echol ma'achil, kol shas she'uchel ma'achil miboilin. And I will say, now the Gemara makes a very interesting deal. If you look at the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah is strange, because the way it reads is, any time that you're permitted to eat, you could feed your animal. Now, both sides, Rashi points out, it almost sounds like it's referring to two different people. That any time that one person could eat, someone else could go ahead and feed their animal. So the Gemara says, if you wanted to write the Mishnah in a simpler fashion, what you would have said was, kol sha'a she'ochel ma'achil. Right? You don't need kol sha'a she'muter le'echol ma'achil. Kol sha'a she'ochel ma'achil. Any time that you could eat, you feed. Why kol shah shemutah le'echol ma'achil? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba bar Ula, Masnissin Rabbi Gamliel. Oh, because I'll tell you whose opinion is reflected in the view of the Mishnah. This is Rabbi Gamliel. This none. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Chulin ne'echolin kol arba, Truma kol chamesh, Visarfin betchilas sheish. Rabbi Gamliel say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Gamliel says, Rabbi Gamliel makes a further distinction. So I will say again. So just so you plot everything on the graph, you have on one end Rabbi Meir who says you could eat and get anah until the Shas Isser. Do whatever you want until the sixth hour. Once the sixth hour comes, you can't eat chametz anymore. We have Rabbi Yehuda who says what? Eat through the end of the fourth hour. Then in hour number five, hana'ah, but no consumption. Hour number six, asr. Rabbi Gamliel comes on and gives another shita. Rabbi Gamliel says he makes a distinction between chulin and truma. Right? Chulin, non-consecrated food items, can be eaten until the end of the fourth hour. Truma can be eaten through the fifth hour, and you have to destroy all chametz by the beginning of the sixth hour. Now, why does he give an extra hour for truma? Because mostly, remember, in general, we are very reticent to go ahead and destroy truma, because truma is sanctified. So therefore, what do we essentially do? You know, if the Yisrael doesn't finish his box of Entenmann's donuts, it's going to be okay, right? It's fine. Don't worry about it. But we would like to give the Kohen as much time as possible to actually go ahead and finish his truma. Therefore, we go ahead and we give him the extra hour. Therefore, what is the Mishnah saying? B'hachi kamar, kol sha'a shemutar le'echol, koin b'tshuma, Yisrael ma'achil chulun le'behema, le'chaya u'le'ofos. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, that's the Mishnah's coming to say. The Mishnah's dafka wants it to make it sound like two people. Why? Because what is the Mishnah saying? Kol sha'a shemutar le'echol ma'achil. Yes, anytime you could eat, you could feed your animals. But furthermore, the inference from that is, anytime that you could feed your animals, Excuse me. Any time that a, and I'm sorry, I read that wrong. The Mishnah says to Vil Rabbi Gamliel. What the Mishnah means is like this: Kol Shah Shemutu Lechol. As long as there's a point where someone is permitted to eat, even if what, even if that someone is not me, but any time that someone could eat, i.e., even a Kohen in the fifth hour, Mutter everyone else, i.e., Yisrael, are Mutter to go ahead and feed their animals. So although the window for consumption has closed on me, the non-Kohen, for my chulin items, but as long as the Kohen is permitted to eat, I am still permitted to get benefit from my chametz. So Moshe, therefore, the Gemara seems to be indicating right now that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Again, just you know, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right? We have the 4-5-6 hour model where we eat until the end of the fourth, we go ahead and we stop eating end of the fourth, we get hana'ah during the fifth, and ultimately again we burn at the beginning of the sixth. So the Gemara says, Lamali lemisna behema, lamali lemisna chaya. So the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah have to tell me that I could feed my domesticated and non-domesticated animals? Meaning just tell me, I could feed my animals. I get the point, meaning it's hana'ah. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Tzricha, di'itana behema, di'imishayra, chazila. So I'll say, I might have thought, what kind of animal could I feed in the fifth hour? That's only a behema, a domesticated animal, because if that animal leaves something over, I will go ahead and see it. Right? And I will say, the advantage of seeing it is what? Is that then I could destroy it, become the sixth hour. Avachaya, di'imishayra, kametsana la. But I will say, apparently when non-domesticated animals eat, if they have leftover food, they hide the food. So for both of that would be a concern, because then maybe there'd be chametz that's mine, that's technically owned by me, but lamaisa, I can't find it before the Shas Isser. V'itana chaya mishum di'i mishayra miha matzna. On the other hand, if I would have just said chaya, I might have said that maybe the reason I could feed a chaya in the fifth hour, Rabbi Osai, because it hides the food. What does that mean? So because the food is essentially gone, it's not really my problem anymore. But sometimes my domesticated animal might leave over chametz right there in my house or right near my house, and I might not even realize it. Therefore, the Gemara says that it has to state both chaya and oaf, because again, if it would have just said one of them, I would have thought that the license to feed that particular animal in the fifth hour is limited to that particular type of animal. Therefore, the Mishnah must say both chaya and oaf. And I will say again, obviously the way we take care of these concerns of the chaya hiding some food or of the behema leaving some food and me not even realizing it is through the bittel. Right? That's why, again, we make our chametz hefker again at the beginning of the sixth hour. At the time that we destroy it, right when Chazal are removing it from our position, we make it hefker. So should there be something that I forget, I'm covered by the bittel. Ofos lamali, so why do I need birds? So I understand why I need chay, I understand why I need oaf. Except I understand why I need behema. Why do I need birds? I did the tana behema of a chaya, tana nami ofos. Alright, so, it's like pita, whatever. Once you already spoke about chay and behema, what are you going to do? You're going to leave out the birds? Right? So the Erech Chinami, what the Gemara is really saying is, it becomes an expression. You know, once Chaya Behema Ofos, the animal kingdom. So once you're talking about two, why not add on the third? So the Gemara goes weiter. Mochro l'nochri. You could sell it to a non-Jew. So again, Rabbi, remember, going along this logic, the way we're setting up the Mishnah right now, is the Mishnah is fighting the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Which means, again, when can you eat until according to Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel? Right? Depends. What kind of food? Chulin until the end of the fourth. Truma until the end of the fifth. And then everything Aster beginning of the sixth. Now what the Mishnah is teaching us is, any time that a Kohen could still eat Truma, I can get benefit from it. I, Yisrael, can get benefit from my chametz. So we'll say the Gemara is giving us all these examples of how you can get benefit. So for example, I can sell it to a non-Jew as well. So the Gemara says, Peshitta. Okay, what's the Chiddush? That I can sell it to a non-Jew during the fifth hour. La fuki mehai tana. To exclude the position of this particular tana. The Sanya, listen to this. Be shamai omrim lo yimkar adam chemtza l'nachri. This is an amazing shita. Beis Shammai says, you may not sell chametz to a non-Jew unless, of course, you know that he's going to finish it before Pesach. You know, we'll say an exceptionally stringent shita. Beis Shammai says that your chametz must not exist at the time that Pesach comes. And even if you sold it to a non-Jew, guess what? That's still called your chametz. So you can only sell it to him if you know that he's going to consume it before Pesach. We obviously don't pass in that way. Ubeisilo says no. Kol shah shemutu lecho, mutu limkar, as long as you can eat the chametz, so you're permitted to go ahead and sell the chametz. I'm a base. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, so we'll say we pass in like Beisilo. Beisilo essentially says that as long as you can eat it, so you can get rid of it, and we'll see it's even more than that. Even when you can't eat it, you can go ahead and sell it off. And once I sell it to a non-Jew, then what? It's not my problem anymore. It's not my chametz. Whatever he wants to do with it is his business. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Kusach, the chomine kusach, asra limkar shloshin yom kodem pasach. It was an interesting idea. So Rabbi Yehuda says, kusach, remember our kusach? We had kusach. Kusach was a favorite dip in Talmudic terms. It was made out of curdled milk and moldy bread. Yeah, it's a acquired taste. Right, so apparently the whole chap with kusach is kusach lasted a very long time. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you should not sell.
It gets better with age,
right? You should not sell kusach or any type of kusach like. There's a whole line of kusach products. So you shouldn't sell kusach or any kusach like product within 30 days before Pesach to a non-Jew. So Rashi points out over here. Rashi says shloshim yom. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Beis Shammai, and kusach is not. We'll say just let's. We eat a lot of crazy stuff. Also, I'm saying we eat plenty of curdled stuff, and people pay a lot of money for it. So it's not all that different. So the Gemara says the sfira like Beis Shammai, v'ze'ein ne'echa ma'ir, she'ein ochlin also ele matbilin bo. So also Rabbi Huda essentially is adopting the position of Beis Shammai. He's just applying it to a specific food item. And he's saying since kusach is eaten very slowly, I guess people would really keep it with them for a very long time. Therefore, lemaisa, once the obligation to rid oneself of one's chametz already begins, which is, we already established, is 30 days before Pesach, one should not go ahead and sell a product that has a very long, I don't know what it's called, shelf life, or has a very long usage life, out of fear that what? That the non-Jew will continue to use it even into Pesach as well. So this is in line with the position of Beis Shammai, that once your chametz, always your chametz, even if you sell it to a non-Jew, and the only way to ensure you don't violate anything is to make sure the non-Jew finishes that chametz before Pesach. Fine. Again, we don't pass mentally, but it's just the position of Beis Shammai. U'motar ba'ano. And again, the chametz is motar ba'ano. So the Gemara again says, Pshita. So we'll say, again, what the Gemara is essentially asking is, the Mishnah seems to be restating the same concept over and over and over, which is that during the fifth hour, you can get benefit from your chametz. The Gemara says, okay, I got it. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, this is an interesting case. Shecharchu kodem zmano. What's the case of Osai? Where you charred the chametz before the Shas Isser. So let's say now I charred the chametz in the fifth hour, in the fourth hour, anytime before the sixth hour. V'kamashmalan kiderava da'amarava charcho kodim zmano muter bahano afilu la'achar zmano. Habosai, if you char chametz before the shas iser, before the chametz became aser, then what, bless you? Then lemaisa, the chametz becomes mutter ba'ana, bless you, even after the shas iser. So again, if I char the chametz sometime before the sixth hour, the chametz becomes mutter ba'ana, even after the sixth hour. So what does this mean? So what is charring? That's literally what charcho means. So we'll say, if you take a quick look, look at Rashi for just a moment. Just take a look at Tosos. Charchu called him Zmano Mutar Bahano, Afla Achar Zmano, Ukegon, Shenifsal Me Leechol Kelev. Diba'inon Acher, Lo Havi Shari Dumi de Pashish. So, once again, Tosos says, this is the case of Chametz She'ina Ru'uya La'achilas Kelev. That if you go ahead and you do something to Chametz before Pesach that renders it unfit for consumption by a dog, then Lemaisa what? That item is no longer considered chametz, and therefore, technically speaking, you could get benefit from it even before, even after Pesach, even after the Shas Iser, even during Pesach. So, according to the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying over here is when the Mishnah says that the chametz is mutar ba'ana, it's not talking about mutar ba'ana during the fifth hour. What is it talking about? It's talking about chametz that you charred, rendered unfit for consumption by a dog prior to the time that chametz becomes aser. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that chametz like that becomes mutar ba'ana even over the course of Pesach as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, so obviously, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more in a later sugya, but this whole idea of nisal me'achilas kelev is the whole discussion about shampoo and toothpaste and all of these things on Pesach, which may themselves actually have some real chametz ingredients, but at the end of the day lose their chametz identity because of a non-consumption by animals. Okay, says the Gemara. Aver zmano, aser b'hana asal. Once the zman iser passes, so you can't get benefit from the chametz. So again, the Gemara says pshita. Well, like again, it's obvious. If you're telling me that I can get hana during the time before it becomes aser, then obviously once the sixth hour comes, or once the shas iser comes, it's obvious to me that I can't go ahead and get benefit from it. So which the Gemara says, no. Lo tzricha l'shaos dirabanan. They will say, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about when we say that avar zmano asr banaso, then what zman are we talking about? Rabbinic hours. That even though Rabbi say the sixth hour is midda oraisa, totally fine. Remember, midda oraisa, you can eat chametz during the sixth hour. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan said, not only can you not eat, but you can't get benefit and you must destroy. So when the Mishnah says that when the zman is over, the chametz is asr, that's talking about the sixth hour, which is rabbinic. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Gidl, let's look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, "L'shaos d'rabanan, kilomar ha'izmano zman achiloso mashma va'afidu sha'ashishis she'in isuro elamid d'rabanan aser af ba'na." So we'll say the chiddush of the Mishnah is saying is, even though the sixth hour is only, so to speak, rabbinic in nature, nevertheless, once the rabbinic hour of prohibition sets in, all chametz, all hano, everything is aser. And not only that, we also listen to this. We actually had this earlier. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hamikadesh mishesh shaos ulamayla. Rabbi, so listen to this. If a man betroths a woman on the sixth hour and on an erev Pesach, afilu bichiti kordinaisa, even with kordinaisa wheat. Now, what's special about kordinaisa wheat? Look at Rashi. Chiti kordinaisa kashosein. It's a very tough type of wheat. Va'afilu hachi im bo'u lachashash chometz kegon shenafal aleihem mayim asuwa. So let's say you have chiti kordinaisa, which came in contact with water. Then Rabbi Osai, again, the chances are that the chiti kordinaisa is not going to become chametz because, again, apparently it's a very tough type of wheat. So the Gemara says, if you try to mekadesh a woman with chiti kordinaisa, besides the fact, if you try to betroth the woman with wheat, you might have bigger problems than chametz on Pesach. but leave, I'm sorry?
On Erev Pesach.
On Erev Pesach, nonetheless, right? But leaving aside the future of this relationship, the idea is, again, if a man went ahead and was mekadesh a woman with the stalk of this wheat, that it's a chametz resistant wheat. Nevertheless, in choshesh on the kiddushin, we assume the kiddushin is not good. Now, Rabbi, you have to understand what this means. What the Gemara is saying over here is that lemaisa, a man is, understand what's happening over here. A man is going ahead, having mekadesh a woman with an item that really is not chametz during a time when what? During a time when what? When chametz is not midoraisa aser. And yet, what are we saying? What are we saying? The kiddushin is not good. Now, you have to understand what that means. Midoraisa, it sounds like what? The kiddushin is absolutely good, which means This woman is an Eishes Ish, which means were she to go ahead and marry another man, that would be called adultery. And yet, Chazal are paskening, the Kiddushin is not good, the Chiti Kor Denaisa is treated like Chometz, and therefore there's no marriage. So now, what Chazal are saying is, a woman who is biblically married, we are going to tell her she's not married and allow her to marry anyone she wants. Now that's a very strong position. How could Chazal do that? Because remember, we saw in the earlier sugya, because we have the famous phrase of Kol de Mekadesh Adaita de Rabbana Mekadesh, that the institution of marriage is a rabbinic institution. And therefore, the rabbis have the right to say who is married and who is not married. So if the rabbi said that at the sixth hour Erev Pesach, Chometz is Aser, you can't eat it and you can't get Hana'ah from it, and we will even determine what is Chometz and what is not Chometz, so Chazal have the right to say that Kiddushin that you affected with Chiti Kor D'Neisa is not good. So therefore the Gemara says, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says, Avar Zmano Aser Ba'ano, the Zman being referred to over here is not the Zman Mida'oraisa, it's the Zman D'Rabbanon. And when once the Zman D'Rabbanon comes, Chometz is treated almost with biblical-like severity. Fine. Velo Yasik Bar Tana V'Kirayim. Similarly, again, once the Shas Isser comes, so you can't go ahead and fuel your stove with the Chometz. So the Gemara says, Pshita, okay, that's obvious. Lo Tzricha L'Rabbi Yehuda, the Amra Ein Biyar Chometz, El Esreifa. He'll say, no, it's necessary according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only way to destroy Chametz is through burning it. So I might have thought, Sakadait Chamino, Ho wheel of Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Mitzvasa Besreifa, Bahadi Dekasarifle, Lesley Mine. So I might have thought, listen, let me kill two birds with one stone. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have to burn the Chametz. Fine, I'm going to burn the Chametz, but maybe in the course of burning the Chametz, I should be able to get benefit from the Chametz. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to burn it, it means you have to burn it without getting any kind of benefit, and therefore you would not, again, it doesn't necessarily preclude you from burning chametz in your stove, although burning chametz in your stove creates a whole other host of issues in terms of your kashrus. But leaving that aside, lemaisa, there's no problem of burning in your stove, there's only a problem burning in your stove and getting benefit while the chametz is burning. Amr Chizkiya, also, so now let's go weiter a little bit. Amr Chizkiya, minayim the chametz bepesach she'aser ba'anam. So Chizkiya says, how do we know that chametz on Pesach is aser bana? So we'll say, we know that you can't eat chametz, we know that you can't see chametz, that you can't find chametz. How do we know that on Pesach you are not permitted to get benefits from chametz? Because the pasuk says, Shina Emar, lo ye'achel chametz. Because the pasuk says, you shall not eat chametz, lo ye'achel. So the Gemara darshins, lo yehebo heter achila. So look at Rashi, we'll say, lo ye'achel, midikarina lo yochal. So we'll say, interestingly enough, remember, the way the word is read is ye'achel, but it also means lo yochal. Lo yochal means it shall not be eaten. It should not be eaten. Now, ye'achel means it should not be eaten by you. Lo yochal means it should not be eaten. So the Gemara says, so what does that mean? Mashma, lo yehe bo heter hamevi lidei shum achila. So when you vocalize it as yochal, yochal teaches you that you shouldn't engage in any practice that could lead to eating. So apparently, ye'achel means to eat. Yochal means to engage in any practice that could potentially lead to eating. Ustam hanos, and therefore there's a general concern that if we allow you to get benefit from chametz, what could happen? Lidiachila heim ba'os shalokeach bedamim davar machol. So we'll say again, lemaisa, if we go ahead and we let you get benefit from the chametz, you have interaction with the chametz, and it's quite possible that that will lead to actual consumption. Therefore, the Gemara is darshaning over here the fact that it says lo ye'achel, we actually learn out the Isra Hana'ah from lo ye'achel. Again, lo ye'achel could be vocalized as yochal, which means don't be involved in food and chametz in any way that could lead to eating, which would also include Hana'ah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Taima, the cause of Rachmana lo ye'achel chametz, Ha lo kasav lo ye'achel, hava amina isr achila mashma, isr hana'a lo mashma. So I will say, apparently the reason why there's an isr hana'a is because the pasuk says lo ye'achel, lo yochal. Had it not written this, I might have just said that there's an isr achila, but no isr hana'a. To which the Gemara says, upligid Rabbi Avo, and this argument is on Rabbi Avo. Why? Dam Rabbi Avo, kol makom shene emar, lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu. Whenever the Torah uses an Isser of Achila, don't write Lo Yochal Lo Sochal Lo Sochlu, Echad Isser Achila, Ve'echad Isser Hana'a Mashma, Ad Sheyifrak Lecha Akasuv, Kiderech Sheparat Lecha Benevela. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Avo says that whenever the Torah says you may not eat something, so lo yocha, lo socha, lo soklu, by definition includes an isra hanal, a prohibition on deriving benefit, unless, of course, what? The Torah explicitly tells you that you can get benefit, the same way that the Torah went out of its way to tell us this by the case of nevela. What does the Torah say by nevela? Remember, both said nevela is the carcass of an animal that dies without shechita. What does the Torah say? Disanya, lo soch lo kol nevela. The Torah says, you shall not eat a nevela. Rather, what should you do? La ger asher b'sharecha titnena v'achla. You should give it to the ger who's living within your gates, and he'll eat it. And I will say again, obviously, ger in this particular context does not mean a convert, but rather ger refers ultimately to a non-Jew who has accepted upon himself sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, the seven noachide laws. So if you have a nevela, you can't eat it, but you should give it to the ger who lives in your gate. O machor l'nochri. Or what can you do? You can go ahead and you can sell it to a non-Jew. Sell it to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, Ein li ela leger b'nesina. So we'll say, the pasuk seems to give me two options. So I know either I can give it to the ger, or I could sell it to the nachri. Leger b'mechira minayin. Excuse me. Eliyahu leger b'nesina ulenachri b'mechira. Leger b'mechira minayin. How do I know that I'm permitted to sell it to the ger? Meaning, how do I know that I don't just have to give it to the ger, but I can sell it to the ger also? Talmud lomar, leger asher b'sharecha titnena o machor. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, well, you could go ahead and place the kama wherever you'd like, right? So you could go ahead and you could say what? Torah says, give it to the ger shebashach tidna. You should give it to the ger who lives in your gate, omachor, or you could sell it to him. Lenachri bin asina minayin. How do I know that I could also give it to a non-Jew? How do I know that I give it to a non-Jew? I don't just have to sell it to a non-Jew. Talmud lomar, letitnena va'achala. So also, since what the Gemara is saying is you have all of these words in the pasuk, and the pasuk can be broken up in different ways to indicate to us that lemaisa, you could, even though the Torah says primarily you could give it to the ger, but you could also sell it to the ger. You could sell it to the nachri, but you could also give it to the nachri. Titnena va'achala. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, minay tam lomar, titnena va'achala, o machor lenachri. Nim tseis ata omer, therefore we see from here, echad ger ve'echad nachri, bein b'mechira, bein b'nesina, div Rabbi Meir. So we'll cite Rabbi Meir says, you could dash in the pasuk, that both to a ger as well as to a nachri, you can either give it to them, or you can sell it to them. Rabbi Huda says, no, dvarim kich savan. Rabbi Huda says, the pasuk says what it says. Right, go after what the pasuk says. La ger b'nesina, you could give it to the ger, or la nachri b'mechira, or you could give it to the nachri, but you can't go ahead and sell it to the ger or give it to the nachri. So the Gemara says, in my time, it's Rabbi Huda. So what's Rabbi Huda's logic? Rabbi Meir, because of Rabbi Huda says, if Rabbi Meir was really right, that the pasuk is coming to teach me that I could do both nesina or mechira to both the ger as well as the nachri. Lichtov Rachmana leger asher b'sharecha titnena va'achla umachor. So we'll say, then let the Torah write consecutive verbs. To the ger that's in your gate, you could give it to him, he'll eat it, and you could sell it. O lamali. Why do I need the pasuk of O? Right? Why do I need the word O? We'll say, O is a disruptive word that seems to introduce a new dynamic. So Rabbi Huda understands the word O is teaching you that what? There's either this or there's this. There's either going ahead and selling it to a nachri, or there's giving it to a ger. But it's not even, I mean, it is either or, but it's not interchanging those processes one with the other. Shmamina lidvarim kichsavan. Therefore, Rabbi Huda says the fact that the Torah uses the word, just to understand it in the pasuk. So the way the pasuk reads is, I'll read you the pasuk in its entirety. Lo sochlu kol nevela, can't eat nevela. La ger asher b'sharecha titnena va'achla. You give it to the ger who lives in your gates and he'll eat it. O machor l'nachri. Or you could sell it to a nachri. So again, so Rabbi Huda says, I don't understand. If the Torah was telling me that I could give it, that I could either give it to the ger or sell it to the ger, take out the word O, and just put a vav in front of the word umachar. And then vav, that's a vav achir, then that the pasuk flows in its entirety. The moment you put in O indicates that there are two possibilities at my fingertips. Either giving it to the ger, O, or selling it to the nachri. But I don't have the license to give it to the nachri or to sell it to the ger. Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir say? O lahaktin nesina de ger lemechira de nachri. This is interesting, we'll say. So Rabbi Meir says, no, I'll tell you what the O does. The O gives precedence to giving it to the ger overselling it to the Nachri. Meaning, according to, so again, Rabosa, I remember, according to Rimeir, Rimeir still feels that the Pasuk is to be read as one ongoing phrase. And therefore, the Torah is giving me two different possibilities, or really four different possibilities. I can give it to the Nachri, or I could sell it to the Nachri. I can give it to the Ger, or I could sell it to the Ger. So why does it say O? To which Rabbi Meir responds, because Torah is teaching me that if possible, all things being equal, it is more preferable to give it to the Ger who is living within my midst than it is to sell it to an outside Nachri. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, halo tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't need a pasuk, or in this case, it doesn't need the word O. Kevan de Ger ata mitzuva lachioso, the Nachri I ata mitzuva lachioso, lo tzarech kra. Svarahu, Rabbi says, I don't understand. Well, say the Torah already tells me that I am obligated to go ahead and take care of the ger. Look at Rashi, ger atametzua lachiosa dechsev ger v'toshav v'chai imach. Well, the Torah already tells me that I am obligated to take care of the ger of the non-Jew, the Noahide Jew, the Noahide non-Jew. Excuse me, the Noahide. Who lives in my midst, I am obligated to take care of him. So once the Torah told me that I'm obligated to take care of him, then what? Then it goes without saying that if I have a choice between going and selling it to a Nachri and giving it to the Ger, of course I should go ahead and give it to the Ger. This pasuk doesn't need to teach me that. Svarahu. It's already understood. All right, you know what? We'll stop over here, Mir Tzashem. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. Again, just so you don't lose sight of what we're trying to do, we're trying to figure out where we know that chametz is asar b'hano. So remember, so far the answer that we've given is lemaisa, because the Torah uses the lashon. Torah uses lashon of lo yochal, and so far whenever we see lo yochal always means isra achila as well as isra hana, except when the Torah itself tells you that there's only an isra achila, not an isra hana. So to be continued. A mazel tov to Josh Erez on the occasion of the birth of his son yesterday.
Mazel tov.